May it please the court, my name is Rhonda Fiss. I represent the appellant, Sandra Hall, special administrator for the estate of Chelsea Weekly. Counsel, this appeal was taken from a medical malpractice action in which a defense verdict was rendered. The appeal focuses on two very narrow issues. The issues are whether the court erred in allowing expert testimony concerning cause of death to come before the jury, and also whether the use by other witnesses of that expert testimony's opinions prejudiced this case to the point where reversal is required. It is our position, Your Honors, that the testimony from the expert, John Ruby, was so prejudicial and so contrary to the standards set forth in Daubert and those that have been subsequently embraced by this court that reversal is indeed required. If I may briefly touch on the facts of this case, in July of 2011, Chelsea Weekly, not quite 18 years old, had experienced loss of consciousness and blurred vision when she was hit in the head. In infancy, she had suffered an injury that left her with an expanding skull fracture that had been the case for 17 years. After this injury, when she was 17, it was highly recommended that she see a neurosurgeon to have the expanding fracture repaired. She did so. She went into the hospital and was seen by Dr. Flannery and her resident, Dr. Sampath. Chelsea Weekly then underwent surgery on July 20th of 2011. She was discharged from the hospital on the 21st of 2011, and she was found dead in her bed at home on the 23rd of July 2011. There were numerous factual disputes that the jury heard. One of the most important was whether the operation actually performed was a craniotomy or a cranioplasty. The difference being cranioplasty is done primarily on the surface, craniotomy goes below to the cortex. And it was also stated, even by defense expert and the doctor in the case, that if they were working at the level of the cortex of the brain, then it would be appropriate to prescribe anti-seizure medications. Plaintiff's liability expert, Dr. William Sprick, opined on this and said that was the main breach of the standard of care, that before her discharge, during her stay, and at time of discharge, Chelsea Weekly was not provided anticonvulsants. His testimony was unequivocal. Had she been provided those anticonvulsants at discharge and prescribed to take them, she may have suffered a seizure at home, but it would not have been fatal. And therein is why Dr. Ruge's expert testimony destroyed plaintiff's case, and it did so without, well, contrary to the standards set forth in Daubert.
Now, Dr. Ruge's cause of death opinions, did the plaintiff object based on improper methodology or reliability?
Yes, Your Honor.
Specifically,
Your Honor. I filed a motion in limine, it's actually number 49, wherein I pointed out that, number one, he was not qualified. Initially, and I could find no case where not only did an expert render an opinion without qualification to do so, as well as improper methodology. Dr. Ruge's methodology stated at trial was that he Googled. He actually used Google to determine that her cause of death was not a seizure, but was actually heart-related.
Now, they did provide his CV during his direct examination, which highlighted his various credentials.
That is true, Your Honor. And his credentials do not include any training in forensics, any training in pathology. Yes, he is a neurosurgeon. No one disputes that.
And a pediatric neurosurgeon.
But cause of death is a very narrow, specialized function by a physician. And the physician that can render cause of death is, and under the correct methodology, is typically a pathologist. In this case, there were two. One who acted in her official capacity for St. Clair County Medical Examiner and relied upon Dr. Mary Case in formulating the opinion based on very scientific, in fact, an examination of Chelsea Weekly's brain, the methodology that should be employed by a forensic scientist, a forensic physician, and came up with the opinion that a seizure had caused Chelsea Weekly's death. That is in sharp contrast to Dr. Ruge's qualification only as a neurosurgeon. His CV is completely void of any qualifications in pathology or forensics. And besides that, there's a complete analytical gap in this case. Dr. Ruge did not even attempt to testify that he applied any of the findings from the brain of Chelsea Weekly to any methodology whatsoever. All he said was, we know young athletes die young. Sometimes it's due to a heart failure. There was no evidence of seizure, which, by the way, there usually isn't. Seizure is electrical impulse. You can't see it. You can't feel it. But what we know then is because she was young, she was an athlete, it's likely she died of heart infiltrates. This had no basis in science. No, it was completely speculative in medical terms. And it pervaded all of the evidence. Dr. Ruge was taken out of turn.
Ms. Fiss, you made a general objection and an emotional limine to the qualifications.
I did.
But you didn't mention Daubert, which would have been a little help perhaps to the district court in focus. Is there some reason you didn't take the leading case and bring it to the attention of the court?
I didn't use the name, but I specifically, in a lengthy paragraph, called forth all of the exceptions, the Daubert criteria. Specifically, Rule 702 was mentioned whenever it was argued in front of the court, and the court made her rulings. And I also brought those same objections before the court at trial, and we took a long recess and discussed them. One other point I would like to make, not only was the qualification and methodology of Dr. Ruge inappropriate and violative of Daubert and all of the progeny of cases that followed it, the fact that Dr. Ruge was taken out of turn due to a personal issue he had. He testified right before plaintiff's liability expert, Dr. William Sprick. And cause of death was the threshold issue in this case. As Mr. Bott pointed out in his closing argument, jury, if you don't believe that Chelsea Weekly died of a seizure, you know, your job is done here. Go home. Well, unfortunately, the jury, this unsophisticated jury, heard something very simple from a doctor, a neurosurgeon, who works at a children's hospital and is cloaked with credibility. The jury did not know, due to the court's ruling, the jury did not understand that his methodology was flawed, if you could say he had a methodology at all. The jury did not understand that he wasn't qualified. A neurosurgeon is godly. He can do nearly anything. This evidence so pervaded the jury's ability to examine the evidence in this case because it immediately put in their mind that this was perhaps a frivolous case because she didn't even die of a seizure at all.
And you had an opportunity to cross-examine him extensively, right?
I did.
And you raised all these points before the jury.
I did raise all of these points. But, Your Honor, it is our position that, you know, you have we all have a innate trust. We tend to believe physicians. Physicians who work on children, of course, are cloaked with this credibility. And as a charming children's neurosurgeon, Dr. Ruge, stating that opinion, had the ability to impact the jury in a manner that the case law says, Catechus is the case, the U.S. Supreme Court case I'm referring to specifically. What's the impact on the jury here of hearing this? It slanted the way they heard every bit of evidence from that point on in this case. And I believe it was sufficient to require a reversal. If not, if this is allowed to stand, if this complete lack of methodology and qualifications is allowed to stand, then what kind of precedents would that set for future cases where expert testimony is the key to an important issue such as cause of death?
Thank you, Ms.
Thank you.
Mr. Bott?
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. My name is Ed Bott. It's my privilege to be here on behalf of Dr. Flannery, Dr. Sampath, and SSM Cardinal Glennon Children's Medical Center. The issues framed on appeal in this case are two. The first is whether or not the court erred in allowing Dr. Ruge to testify that death was probably not related to, or that was probably heart-related rather than seizure-related. Secondly, whether the court erred in allowing the other defense experts to testify that seizure was not the cause of death. Both of those issues relate to the causation element of the case. Because this is a medical negligence case, clearly plaintiff's burden was to prove that the physicians breached the standard of care. There were experts who testified to the standard of care. One expert, Dr. Sprick, for the plaintiff. Two experts for the defense.
Now, by objecting to Dr. Ruge's testimony on the grounds that Ruge was not qualified to give opinions as to the cause of death, did the plaintiff essentially invoke 702 and Daubert at trial?
Our position, Your Honor, is that the plaintiff did not invoke Daubert and did not invoke.
So she was not
challenge.
Required to expressly. So you're saying it was a requirement that she expressly reference Daubert or 702 in order to preserve the issue for appeal?
Well, I don't think she has to use the case name Daubert, but I think that if an examination of the transcript reflects that Ms. Fiss objected in limine and used the word qualifications, but all of the dialogue on those motions in limine related to opinions that were to be expressed to a reasonable degree of medical certainty. When Dr. Ruge testified at trial, the objection was made again to the fact that this violates the motion in limine, and at that point, Judge Yandel took a recess and examined the transcripts of Dr. Ruge's deposition testimony and came back and expressed the opinion that this opinion had been properly disclosed, that it did not violate the ruling in limine, and that, in fact, he would be allowed to testify because of the fact that he had expressed it to a reasonable degree of medical certainty. Ms. Fiss's response to that was, thank you, Your Honor. So then what happened is that Dr. Ruge went forward and he testified, and there was never any effort by Ms. Fiss to object to his qualifications, never any effort to object to his methodology, never any subsequent effort to ask to voir dire him out of the presence of the jury regarding his methodology or qualifications, and never any request on the part of Ms. Fiss to strike his testimony as a violation of Daubert. So in that context, I think that any challenge to Dr. Ruge's testimony is waived. I would also submit that the prejudicial impact of that specific part of his testimony is overstated. One other point I do want to mention with regard to the Google reference, you know, he also referenced that what he did is he Googled it and pulled up reliable literature on the subject. And so we all know on Google there are medical treatises and authorities that can be accessed, and that's what he reviewed and relied upon, which is the same thing that Dr. Nanduri, the pathologist, testified that she did in terms of forming her opinion on cause of death, because there was no pathology to identify a seizure as a cause of death. And so what she did in part in trying to reach her own decision was to rely upon Dr. Case's conclusion, which, as we point out, was fundamentally flawed, and then secondly to do her own independent research on other alternative causes of death.
Ms. Bott, if I could turn to Dr. Ruge for a second.
Yes.
accepting, and I think for argument we can, that might have been preferable to focus on Daubert as specifically, but assuming that objection had been raised to the qualifications and the prospective methodology, where in the record can we get, other than the judge saying she examined the in chambers, as you talked about, any analysis of his testimony which would satisfy the Daubert analysis? Where in the record will we find, other than the conclusion that the testimony is to be admitted, that there's something on behalf of the district judge showing an analysis?
Well, I'm not sure that the district judge ever went through the Daubert criteria.
Again, isn't that, if it was raised, I know you speak about perhaps it certainly wasn't raised in the fashion you would suggest it ought to have been, but if it were raised, isn't it troubling for us as to the issue of whether the analysis was conducted?
Well, I would say no, in the sense that within the transcript collectively, there is testimony from a variety of skilled physicians on the cause of death in young people. And I will tell, there's testimony from Dr. Case as well as Dr. Nanduri, that the most common cause of death in young people when there is no other pathologic evidence is heart-related. So that it's not just Dr. Ruge who is saying this. Dr. Ruge keyed in to a specific finding in the specimens from the heart slides in the pathology and says that chronic infiltrates is something to me that could be an indication that the death was more probably heart-related. That was subject to dispute by other experts and subject to cross-examination by plaintiff's counsel. So I think that his basis and the qualifications were fully vetted collectively throughout the course of the trial.
But had all those doctors testified before Ruge? No,
I believe,
in terms of
I don't recall the exact sequence, Your Honor.
She's suggesting that he testified during her case, if I understood what she said correctly. So that means that the doctors that you called in the defense case hadn't testified before the court made that call about his credentials.
I believe Dr. Nanduri's testimony had been read, but I don't recall the exact sequence, and I can't remember when Dr. Case testified. But I think that actually having Dr. Ruge testify at the point where he did was something that I, as the trial lawyer, I did not want. I think that prejudiced us more than it than the reverse. In my remaining time, though, if I may, I'd like to argue the point that...
But the fact, just to get back to my point, the fact mm-hmm. of the matter is the judge had not heard from these other experts that you called, because you said that it was appropriate that Ruge be allowed to testify, and part of that was the context in which he testified and what other doctors said, but he had not heard them before he hit the stand, right?
Correct. Our experts testified in the second week of the trial. And I will say that Dr. Ruge is an impeccably qualified physician, pediatric neurosurgeon here in the Chicago area, who happens to have been the chief of pediatric neurosurgery for the Advocate Healthcare System, which has two major children's hospitals. And all of the physicians were testifying here based upon their personal background and experience because, as again I said, there was no specific pathology that would identify the cause of death. But a reason why we asked this court to affirm the decision of the trial court, because the jury heard all of this evidence by experts on both sides. And the fundamental question is, did these physicians in this hospital meet the standard of care? None of the issues on appeal go to that issue. And so we have a situation where the jury may very well have believed that seizure was the cause of death, but have also concluded that the defendant's conduct did not cause it, or that the anti-seizure medications would not have prevented it, and that the physicians met the standard of care. Any one of those three alternatives would be enough to uphold the verdict, because it was a general verdict, and simply attacking one element of causation should not set aside that verdict in its entirety. With regard to Your Honor's questions with regard to where in the transcript the evidence of the Daubert evidence exists, again, I would submit it's through the testimony of Dr. Ruge as well as the other physicians. And again, this is to be under an abuse of discretion standard. I think that there's certainly enough in the record that qualifies Dr. Ruge as well as Dr. Nanduri or any of the other physicians to testify to his opinion on what may have, and it would be subjected to cross-examination. One other thing, if I may, in the remain is this: the plaintiff's theory was that it was sudden death from a seizure, and I would comment on that. That all of the experts agreed that it is highly unlikely that anyone would die from a seizure their first time to ever have a seizure. The only time anyone dies from a seizure is when it's someone who has chronic epilepsy and then experiences a seizure that's significant enough to cause death, and that was clearly not the situation here.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Spot. Ms. Fiss, your time had expired, but you may have 2 minutes for rebuttal.
And just so I'm clear, are you contending that Dr. Miller and Rothman's cause of death testimony, in addition to Ruge's, violated Daubert?
No, Your Honor, because Dr. Miller did not give a cause of death opinion.
And the only part of his testimony you take issue with is his reference to the impact of the heart attack on the hypothetical cause of death.
Yes, Your Honor. In fact, I take issue with that as to all of defense experts who testified after Dr. Ruge. Dr. Ruge, who was unqualified and had no methodology, was allowed to open the door that heart caused her death without any basis whatsoever.
Well, Dr. Miller didn't testify that she suffered a heart attack, right?
No, but he did mention that heart could have been, in a sideways form, heart was mentioned. In fact, every defense medical expert did not testify to a reasonable degree of certainty that it was a heart attack, but in some capacity mentioned the heart after Dr. Ruge testified. So Dr. Ruge's improper testimony was used repeatedly before the jury, and that in fact Dr. Rothman, who testified last, mentioned that heart was more likely. It just came in without direct question. It was as though it was a gradual effect on the jury.
And let me make sure, did you ever object at trial to Rothman's testimony about her cause of death?
In my initial motion in limine, I did, because I figured that he was going to mention it.
At trial, did you object?
Well, I didn't, Your Honor, and I will tell you why. It was not elicited. It was put in as a comment. Had it been elicited, I certainly would have, but it was just added on the trail of a sentence. So, again, Your Honor, I would like to say also that, yes, there was an expert who did dispute that the seizure was not the cause of death. My experts disputed that. My experts gave very technical forensic evidence that was ironically proper, but obviously overshadowed by Dr. Ruge's improper evidence. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Fiss. Mr. Bott, thank you. The case is taken under advisement.